Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Las Vegas. Your other host today will be the one and only Josh Applebaum. He's out in Boston. Josh, how are you?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Happy Tuesday, my man. It's great to be with you. We have a lot to get to today. Pritch, today, to me, it's all about talking about this opening line report here for the Super Bowl, going over some trends that we've seen so far in the playoffs, breaking on movement here a little bit to the Bucks, a little bit to the under. But really, Pritch, today is all about if you like sweating college hoops and the NHL, today is a sneaky, huge day betting hockey. So I got a couple systems that I'll share with you later in the show that I've done pretty decent so far this year, so we'll hit on that. Then, of course, we got two great guests today. Our guy Dwayne Colucci at the Rampart Casino. We'll talk to him about some early Super Bowl action coming in, as well as, I know Dwayne's a big hockey guy, and we got a big slate tonight. And then our guy Stephen Hennessy talking golf. But Pritch, it's great to be with you, my man. A great way to start off the week here.
Absolutely. Great to have you, too. Are you okay? I mean, Tom Brady in a Super Bowl not wearing a Patriot uniform. I just wanted to check in and see, is everything going all right out there?
Pritch, I'm A-okay, my man.
Okay.
I am A-okay. This is my guy. I tell you what, Pritch, let me just say this before we get into all these games. You know I'm a Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. Brady's my favorite athlete of all time. I found myself rooting just as hard, if not harder, for Brady and the Bucks in that game against the Packers than any Patriots game, any Patriots Super Bowl. So I know New England, it's like, are you on Bill's side or Brady's side? That, you know, that debate is pretty much put to bed here, Pritch. But even better was not just a public bias, sentimental, emotional pick. That was really sharp play there to Tampa Bay, because we saw all week the liability was toward the Tampa Bay Bucks. They were 4.5, 4, got down to 3.5 on game day. Pritch, Twitter was going wild because Jimmy Vaccaro, they're reporting, you know, $100,000 bets coming in on Tampa Bay and the hook, and we saw that line really close, 3.5 or 3. And just some crazy numbers here, Pritch. So far this season, that spot that Tampa Bay cashed in, we talked about during the regular season. You look at dogs with a line move in their favor. During the regular season, they were 59% ATS. In the playoffs so far, they're 4-1 ATS. So that's really been a grinder system that's come true. And I think it has a lot to do with, you get into the playoffs, Pritch, the books are so good. There's so much data to go off of. They're so sharp. The market's hard to beat. It's hard to move numbers. But really, when the numbers are moving, it's because big, big respective money's coming in. So I'm happy. I am fully on board. Fire the cannons here, Pritch. Brady did it again. So it's unbelievable, especially for dog bettors.
Right, absolutely. And I was right there with you. I mean, I wasn't that confident. I was confident about the Bucks, but I just to give myself some room, certainly had a teaser ticket there with the Bucks, and certainly teasing it down to total to go over there. So when you look at Tampa Bay and what they did to Green Bay, this matchup, okay, right now is still 3. It's going to be that way for a while, I'm sure. And this total, Josh, 56.5. Your thoughts on the initial line here, where it could go? I mean, both teams public, when you think about Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, any insight here early on? I mean, I know it's really early, but any thoughts, initial thoughts by you?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts here, Pritch. So number one, I think the benefit of the fun thing, the anticipation, is we have 2 weeks to see how this develops. I think we're kind of probably going to see a lull in the market where you may not see anything happen for a while. And then, you know, 2 a.m. we may see a line move where sharps maybe get down at some point. But it looks like, you know, early on to me, you did see some respected money hit Tampa Bay, you know, the Bucks here, because all these books opened at Kansas City -3.5. I'm seeing across the market that a lot of books are really lopsided. It's looking to be at this point, the public play will be Kansas City. And again, Kansas City, what we've seen here, you know, up until last week is, you know, they've been winning, but not covering numbers. But then you see, you know, the Chiefs, you know, absolutely, you know, destroying pretty much the Bills there, you know, got close at the end, but wasn't really that close. They're all over Mahomes and the bandwagon here. And the funny thing is, there's a lot of money coming in. I saw some reports. 180K bet already came in on the Kansas City money line at BetMGM. You've had two different $100,000 bets on Kansas City -3.5, which I scratch my head and say you could probably have gotten the 3 if you waited that one out, Pritch. But right. This is a line move to Tampa Bay. It reminds me, so that kind of tells me right off the bat, these teams played, I think it was week 12, was a 27-24 game. The hook came in big there with Tampa Bay covering. This reminds me of, Pritch, remember that game where it was early in the playoffs? It was the Ravens and the Titans. Mm-hmm. Same exact thing, where it's 3.5 to 3. 3.5 to 3. It's just, I think this is going to be a back and forth ping pong. I think it's going to be a decision on a part of a lot of bettors, where if you like the Chiefs, you're looking at 3. If you like the Bucks, you're looking at 3.5. But here's the key, Pritch. Here's one thing that I dug up a little bit. When you get into the Super Bowl and you look at Super Bowl line moves, some people would argue this is the one time a year where public money can maybe influence a line. To me, I still think it's pretty much sharp driven. But if you look at Super Bowl line moves, they're 3-0 ATS the last 3 Super Bowls. They're 7-3 ATS the last decade. So it seems pretty simple. Where the line moves toward in a Super Bowl matchup, that team tends to cover. And the other thing here, Pritch, you're my over guy. This total opened really, really high, 57.5. Yeah. It's down to 56.5. And we have seen over the last decade, you know, we've had 5 games of a really high total of 50 or more. The under is 4-1. So, Pritch, what do you think? Little money Tampa Bay 3.5, little money under. Any initial thoughts from you on those two side and total?
Well, looking at that total, 56.5, now some sharper than me suggest that that total might be inflated, or it was high. Certainly when it opened, it got bet down a little bit. But then I'm looking at these two teams, and I don't know if it's inflated yet, because you have Tom Brady, who's been in, I don't know, 10 Super Bowls. you have Bruce Arians, who's coached in 4 Super Bowls. This first time as a head coach, if you include this one, that'll be 4. You have Andy Reid, who's been in, I mean, how many Super Bowls has Andy Reid been in? An assistant coach and as a head coach. And then you have Patrick Mahomes. Like, the moment's not going to be too big for these two teams. I mean, it's whatever weapon you have, we're going to unleash it in this game. Like, and so that's why I'm looking at this 56.5. I'm like, I don't know if that's inflated, because you're not going to have that situation out there in which players and coaches are going to be tight, because this is a big game. This is a big stage. Everybody's been there. Everybody important has been there. So I don't anticipate it going under that severely. So that's why I'm looking at that total right now. Maybe it gets steamed up here, Josh.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pritch. So great point by you, experience on both sides of the ball. Mahomes back in this game, Andy Reid. We obviously know the king of experience here is Brady. It's like every year he's in it. It's right. Crazy. But I agree with you. I think the one thing we did notice real quick is that, you know, and I was waiting Sunday night when all these lines were opening. A lot of these lines were coming out late in that Bills-Chiefs game when we kind of knew the Chiefs would win. And all these 57.5s that open up with the hook, they got hit very quickly. So that kind of tells me that just, you know, as soon as they were released, under 57.5 had a little bit of value. And now I think you're kind of in no man's land. I think if you like that under, you really missed your best spot, 57.5, even 57. You would have wanted the hook there. Mm-hmm. Now let's see where it goes, because I'm seeing some 56s here. That's important too. Also, we're going to monitor a lot of injuries, you know, over the next 2 weeks here, Pritch. Number one, Fisher's out, left tackle, and he's going to, you know, JPP, that may be an advantage, losing your left tackle in that defensive front. We saw Vita Vea come in and play probably more than we thought and played pretty well there. You also have Winfield most likely coming back. Also Whitehead, Antonio Brown. The Chiefs could get Watkins back. So maybe these injuries have some sort of influence. But Pritch, one thing I'm thinking about, it screams over. It feels like it's going to be an over. They score a lot of points. But the last 3 games where this has happened, last year, 49ers Chiefs, that one we thought would go way over too. Remember, that was actually, it was a 31-20 game, landed 51. The total was, I think, 52.5 there, the under hit. Remember the Patriots-Rams 2 years ago? It was a 13-3 game. Sure. That was one of the highest totals we ever saw. Mm-hmm. And then before that, Patriots-Falcons, that actually did go over because of overtime. But before that, Giants-Patriots, that one went under. So it's this kind of thing where it seems like there's going to be a lot of points. They look great offensively. But you get into these Super Bowls, it's played differently. Is it tight? I think that's why if you took under 57.5 right off the bat, maybe that's a number you really liked early.
Yeah, looking at that. And also the first half, Chiefs 2.5. And then 27.5 for that total. Just the first half of the game right there, Josh.
Yeah, great point. So I think there's going to be a lot of different betting opportunities, betting options here. And this is going to, and just Pritch, wait until Propapalooza comes out here and we get all these prop bets. It's just going to be nuts. But yeah, these are all, you know, looking at your different options. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of Kansas City money line bets, I would say, just okay. In terms of, especially with maybe some recreational money coming in more so than usual. We've already seen it at BetMGM with these big money line bets coming in. To me, it's like 3.5. We're going to keep going through this. And if you like Brady and the Bucks, you want the hook. But it's going to be a great game here, Pritch. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I heard Lombardi line and talk. You guys were talking about the offensive line situation. Michael Lombardi was talking about that. So, you know, with Fisher out, Schwartz, and so you got backup tackles. Did you notice in the Tampa Bay-Green Bay game, Tampa Bay is typically a 3-4. They went to like a 4-3 look where they had Viavea as a tackle and Sue as a tackle, and really was able to isolate Shaq Barrett on the outside as well as JPP. So not only are they a 3-4 front, they can vary it and go to that 4-3 and kind of get those one-on-one situations. Also play some games up front too. So from a passing standpoint, Kansas City might have their hands full with that front from Tampa Bay. And then on top of that, from a rushing standpoint, if Kansas City wants to rush the football, you got Viavea and Ndamukong Suh interior tackles, along with David and Devontae, Levante David, as well as Devin White inside as linebackers. I mean, you have to protect the safeties for Tampa Bay at this point because you're banged up. We know that. So it's going to be so interesting as we get closer and closer to this game, Josh, the chess match, and certainly how Kansas City is going to be able to adjust to the defensive front from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think a lot of things here. You know, you look at this Tampa Bay defense, I feel like they're kind of underrated. I mean, you limit Rodgers, who's lit it up all season long, to 26 points. And I think that's kind of the blueprint that really gave Tom Brady some trouble in those Giants games. If you can just rush your front four and drop people back, I think that's what makes it difficult. You know, we all know Mahomes is, you know, incredible. He's Superman here. But if you can only rush your four, if you can especially take advantage of the fact that, you know, Fisher won't be in here, I think that's a big injury. I don't know. Just your starting left tackle, your blind side. The funny thing, Pritch, we were talking about Mahomes, you know, clearing concussion protocol, and he's got turf toe, and will he? I mean, he looked incredible. The turf toe didn't even really seem to bother him too much. But here's my thing. Todd Bowles, and I didn't understand this. Maybe the Bills were just, the spotlight was too big. They're an up-and-coming team, but they just weren't ready for the big spot. But I just think your game plan, and we've seen Belichick do this, even when the Patriots this year, not a very good team, they went into KC and, you know, held their ground for a little bit. The AFC Championship a couple years ago when Brady and Gronk and Edelman, when they beat KC to go to that Super Bowl, double Tyreek Hill, double Kelsey, and I'll say anyone else can beat me. Like, that's what I didn't understand with the Bills. It was like, how long, you're letting these guys torch you. You got to try something different. So I think that maybe benefits Tampa Bay. If they can just rush their four, contain JPP and Barrett can get to the passer, and you can double these big guys, Kelsey and Hill, to me, that's the recipe to try to, you know, not stop Mahomes, but limit him at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Bowles did a great job of making JPP and Shaq Barrett, just to expand on that, this point, he made those guys defensive ends more so than outside linebackers. Like, when you have tight ends on the field and you got guys that could stand up at times or whatever, but what Bowles was able to do was adjust it up front and make those guys defensive ends to stop the run. You got so much beef inside. The Green Bay Packers abandoned a run and exposed Rodgers from that standpoint because Lombardi hit it. Rodgers, from a drop back quarterback standpoint, he struggles at times, right? And he needs that running game. In fact, the numbers suggested that the Green Bay Packers were more 50-50 in terms of run-pass ratio than any other team in the playoffs, the four teams that were in that championship situation. So a lot of credit to Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coaching staff.
I agree with you, Pritch. And here's the other thing. You know, we've seen Rodgers, you know, run around and make plays. And I think that kind of gets in your head a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw that play late. And obviously, LaFleur is getting crushed here for kicking the 3 points.
He
and
should
not
be
going
getting crushed.
Yeah, and he should, and deservedly so. And also, Pettine, the defensive coordinator, at the end of the first half. Pritch, when Brady threw that late deep pass to Scotty Miller before the end of the half, I mean, that's when I had a good feeling. Like, okay, it got dicey in the end there with Brady throwing a bunch of picks, which, by the way, Pritch, whatever the prop is for Brady to throw one interception in the Super Bowl, I will be looking toward that. I don't know what the number will be, but he's usually good for one of those. But kind of the thing that I was getting at there is there was an opportunity with Rodgers toward that end before they kicked the field goal. Remember, Pritch, he could have just run to the right. Mm-hmm. Maybe he scores. Maybe he, you know, gets 5 yards, makes it a shorter play on fourth down, and he didn't. So maybe that defensive front that he saw all day made him question it. That slight hesitation, you know, he said, hey, I'm better off throwing the ball here. So I agree with you. Vita Vea coming back and Sue. And I think that, if you're a Bucs backer, number one, it's all about Brady and the confidence that he gives the teammates, and just the guy just will not give up, will not quit. But it's also underrated, this defense, this defensive line. You get Winfield back. I think it's going to be a great game. And Pritch, my early my early spot here is Bucks plus 3.5 with the hook. That's what I'll be looking at.
All right. I love it. I love it. You know, yeah, I mean, Belichick, Bowles. I mean, Bowles got a little bit of that coaching points or standpoints where, okay, we can change up our fronts whenever we want. And then you go back to the philosophy, no risk it, no biscuit. Seriously, from Bruce Arians. And I think that speaks volumes to why you go for it on fourth down with a little bit over 10 seconds left. And then you go downtown to Scotty Miller instead of selling for a field goal. But if you have a field goal mentality, okay, your defense can play that way. We saw that from Green Bay. And then offensively, LaFleur, and then certainly McDermott to a certain extent, selling for field goals when you're that close to the end zone. I mean, that's crazy to me, especially when you see so much firepower across the field from you. So I can appreciate the aggressive mentality on the offensive side of the ball from my coaches, especially if they're the play caller too. Bruce Arians, a play caller. I can appreciate that. Andy Reid's a play caller, a head coach. So I can appreciate whether or not these coaches are going to be aggressive, highly aggressive in the Super Bowl.
Right there with you, Pritch. And again, no risk and no biscuit, no risk, no reward, whatever right. You want to call it. You got to be a little bold. And you got, again, you're kicking field goals isn't going to beat Mahomes. It's not going to beat Brady. It's when you show some bold moves there and try to go for the touchdowns that you can win these games. And I think that's what you like about probably both teams in this situation.
Four down mentality. Not selling for field goals, Josh Applebaum. I love it. Up next, love the NBA too. Great games last night. Just a few on the schedule tonight. Josh and I talk about those, break those down. So it's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app, stop by any MGM casino on the Strip, be sure to have your state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. Josh, we saw some outstanding performances last night. LeBron, in particular, back in Cleveland, home cooking, I guess, helps him out big time. We got some interesting games because the Clippers on the road in Atlanta, the Hawks. Now, the Clippers are going to be without Kawhi and PG. I think it's due to COVID, I want to say. So this line, -5 for the Hawks, you would think without those two players, averaging about 25 points each, and that total 221.5, I thought that might be a heavier situation for the Hawks.
I agree with you, Pritch. And just one thing about yesterday to keep in mind and kind of use as we move forward. We mentioned this on the show a couple times. Two games in particular, Hornets Magic from last night, and then also the Mavericks and the Nuggets. Those are both situations where we saw dog to favorite line moves. So in that Hornets Magic game, you saw public all over the Hornets, yet the Magic went from +1 to -1. So they went through the zero, went from a dog to a favorite. Those are meaningful to me because it really takes respected money moving that dog to favorite, kind of flip of a line like that. And then same thing with Nuggets and Mavs. Mavs were -1.5, flipped to Nuggets -2. So both the Magic and the Nuggets dog to favorite came through last night. So just keep that in mind moving forward. I look at an odds page, and anytime I see one team open as a favorite, the line flip and the other team becomes a favorite, typically those moves come through more often than not. If you're gonna follow that sharp move, dog to favorite. But Pritch, talking about this one here, Clippers Hawks. So obviously, you know, you mentioned it. The two big stars for the Clippers are out here. The funny thing, the odds makers, they actually they heard about this, they knew this, and they didn't release this line until late.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to get caught in a situation where maybe they put out a bad line and get hammered by sharp guys coming in. The other thing here though is Trae Young is questionable. Mm-hmm. And Pritch, this is kind of a thing that anytime I run into the situation, I don't want to touch this game at all. This is just like, it opened Hawks 3.5. It's up to 5. You think without, without the two studs there for the Clippers, it's just lay the points of the Hawks. But then what if you get Trae Young out, you know, Clippers plus 5 has a little bit of value buying low off of injury and COVID news. The one intriguing thing is a little bit to the over there. So maybe you get your good defensive guys out. These backup players want to get in there and score. The total did rise 221.5 to around 222.
Backup guy's going to be going up and down the court. Josh, I can see that big time. Trae Young's got the back spasms. And if you've watched Doc Rivers lately, especially last night, that hardwood, that court, man, does wonders, or not wonders. I mean, it just does damage to your back. And so Charles Barkley, I mean, all these guys going up and down the floor, but you don't mess with back spasms. We'll see if Trae Young can go. But the superstar is certainly for the Clippers, not out there on the court, on the floor. And this matchup, again, the Hawks laying 5. Well, how about this one? The Wizards and the Rockets. The Rockets with Wall, Oladipo. They seem like they might be gaining some confidence here. They're laying 3.5 at home against the Wizards. Now, the Wizards are still depleted, right? And I think the Houston Rockets, too, not going to have everybody back. But this situation, minus 3.5 to total 232. High total here, Josh.
Yeah, so number one, Pritch, you're right. Wizards still have a lot of guys out. Denny Avdija, Rui Hachimura, Wagner, Ish Smith, Troy Brown, Bertans. You don't know a lot of these guys by name, but that's a lot of their rotation guys not in here. You do have Christian Wood, our guy who we love, Pritch, here. Probably not going to play. He's doubtful at this point. But it looks to me, you know, public's kind of split, but it seems like all the liability has been toward the Rockets. Minus 3.5. A lot of these shops look like they may be going to minus 4. So a little bit of lean there to the Rockets. But Pritch, you're my over guy. We may have to sweat an NBA over tonight, because I'm seeing some respected money on this Wizards Rockets over. This is a high total. It's always, you know, it gives you heartburn sweating a high total like this, because you pretty much need 60 points every quarter. But this one here, Pritch, open 230.5, 231. It's now up to 232.5. I'm seeing some 233s out there. You're late to the party. You would have liked to jump on it earlier. However, a couple things here. When you look at kind of some advanced analytics, pace pushing the number, favors an over here. Also, you have the Wizards as one of the best over teams this year, 8-4. And you have two refs tonight, Smith and Capers, both very good to the over, call a lot of fouls. So, Pritch, if you want to sweat an over, I'm down with Wizards and Rockets today.
Okay. You picked that one instead of Atlanta and the Clippers with the youngsters out there going up and down the floor. Okay. Let's get to college hoops, where we do look at data more so than not. That's coming up next. Everybody, we're gearing up for the big game here at VSiN, and of course, keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week, we've updated our programming lineup. The Lombardi Line is now 2 hours every weekday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, and we're excited to introduce The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. We also have our big game preview show with Brent Musburger coming soon to help get you ready for all the Super Bowl betting and prop action. You can always find our lineup on vsin.com or in your daily VSiN subscriber email. And make sure to check out The Nuts weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. And Josh, College hoops, some data. We need some data here. Absolutely. We need your expertise, I think, to help us out with some of these games. Let's start with Mississippi State, Tennessee. Tennessee, I think, is one of those good teams that we'll see deep in the tournament. But, yep, you know, you look at the SEC, you look at how competitive some of these games can be. You find these teams that can rise to the occasion. Big number here, though, minus 9.5, that total 127. How do you see this one?
Yeah, this one's intriguing to me, Pritch. You know, in terms of the just the spread, we did see a little bit of an adjustment to Mississippi State. You know, Tennessee opened around minus 10.5. They're down to around 9.5. So it does look like a small move there toward Mississippi State. They would have a little value in that spot as a, you know, a conference road road team with a line move in their favor, unranked versus ranked. Just some nuts and bolts that would favor a little bit Mississippi State in the points. You would have wanted the 10.5, though. But, Pritch, what I'm looking at here, it fits one of my favorite systems in college basketball, this low total over opportunity. So it actually just cashed earlier today, Tulsa and Temple. That total is 127. That one went over this afternoon. And this one is pretty much the same sort of thing. So just some crazy stats here looking at college hoops this year. Doesn't include these low, you know, under the radar added game extra games. But when the total is 130 or less this year, the over is 63%. When the total is 127 or less, those really super low totals, the over is 73%, Pritch, 59-19. And again, you may have a night where it goes 0-4. It may go 4-0. But if you consistently play it, it's been pretty profitable thus far. So I'm looking at that Tennessee over. What I kind of like about it too, Pritch, it opened at 130.5. And you did have some respect in money, hit it early, 130.5. It's down to 126.5. But if you find a 126.5, ideally, even 127, you're buying low off a move. I wouldn't really want to bet an under 127 now after it's moved 3 points. But you can kind of go the other way. KenPom has a 129 here. So that matches the system I really like. I'm leaning that over 127 in the Tennessee game.
Okay, I was looking at Mississippi State, too, in terms of what they did against Alabama. They scored 73 points against Alabama, and Alabama's pretty hot right now, and a loss, by the way. Tennessee, I know they can play defense, but, you know, as of late, lost a couple games, certainly, but they're playing aggressive basketball. So I was looking at this number. I think this is a really intriguing matchup to me, Josh.
Yeah, and great point by you, Pritch, making me even more confident in my Tennessee over 127 here, because you are right. Mississippi State putting up points. They're 10-6 to the over this year. You do worry because Tennessee is a pretty good defensive team. I mean, they're giving up like 60 points a game, so you're always worried about that. But the funny thing is, if you saw yesterday, Virginia and Syracuse, that total was very, very low. Virginia, I tell you what, Pritch, Virginia isn't your father's Virginia when it comes to unders. They're scoring points. They're giving up points. I was able to get that Virginia Cuse over yesterday. So hopefully we get some more points here in this Tennessee game.
Yeah, they lull you to sleep a little bit. They make you slow down offensively, but then they picked it up offensively. So now what do you do? I mean, Cuse was sitting in that zone. And like, why are they sitting in the zone this whole game? And it's really slowing down their offense. But credit to Virginia. Let's move on to Oklahoma and Texas. Shaka Smart has COVID. And then you got Lon Kruger. I thought this would be going to be an outstanding head coach matchup here, Oklahoma and Texas. We're not going to get that because Shaka Smart in the COVID situation. But you have an interesting game, though. -4.5 for the Longhorns. That totals 143.
Yeah, so two ranked teams here, Pritch, is going to be a big one at 7 o'clock tonight here. And one thing is, you know, Oklahoma's been playing well here. You know, they've won 3 in a row. They beat Kansas. They beat K-State. They beat TCU. You do have the COVID concerns here, not in terms of the players on the court, but missing Shaka Smart, missing your floor general there as coach. I don't know how much, you know, we saw with the Browns missing Stefanski. It didn't matter in that game, Pritch, but college kids, maybe you lean on your coaching a little bit more. The interesting thing to me in terms of what we're seeing with this line move is public doesn't know really where to go. Oklahoma's playing well. They're getting a bunch of points. But yet Texas is at home. They're ranked fifth. But we did see an adjustment here a little bit toward Oklahoma because this line opened. A lot of shops were -5, even -5.5, down to 4.5 now at this point. It even got down to 4, and when it got down to 4, you did see a lot of respected money buyback on Texas -4. So I think that may have been the low water mark. Then it's coming back a little bit. I'm kind of torn on this game. I like the angle of, you know, an Oklahoma team playing well and a line move in their favor and no coach for Texas. But then you also look at KenPom, and he's got a 6 or 7 point win here for Texas. So I lean Oklahoma, but I'm worried about that buy low on Texas at this point if you got the -4.
Right, and Texas, you look back at the Texas Tech game from a perimeter shooting standpoint, Texas Tech was able to get the job done and get the victory that way. OU has been shooting the ball well too lately. Now, I know Texas, they got a pretty good defense, can guard the perimeter. Shaka Smart, though, that energy is not going to be on the floor, and you wonder how kids are going to adjust to that. They still are the favorite, -4.5, 143 in this one. How about Kentucky and Alabama? I've been on KenPom for this one because Kentucky's got all the athletes, right? I mean, Let's be honest about that. But Alabama's playing great basketball. They're laying 7, 148.5 to total.
Yeah, Alabama's really rolling. They're playing great. They got a kid, I think it's Herb something. I'm not sure his name, but he has been unbelievable. It's this big guy who can stretch it, mm-hmm. run the floor, shoot it. He's been incredible. But yeah, Alabama, I mean, maybe they're not just a football school. This has been recent years here, Pritch. They're lighting it up. They're playing great. They're ranked 9th in the country. They've won a bunch of games in a row. They're really rolling over all their opponents. And we know Kentucky, they've struggled this year. Kentucky and Duke, both two powerhouse teams that are not where they want to be. You're not used to seeing either of these teams unranked here. So the tough thing for me, you know, look at this line here, and Alabama, KenPom's got them winning by, I think, by 9 maybe. And this line did open 8.5. It's down to 6.5, or now 7 at this point. So this is another tough one where line is moving to Kentucky. You know, everything I look at is unranked, you know, conference, road, line move, all that to Kentucky here. But it's just worrisome that KenPom has a big number. And I think when this got to 6.5, kind of like Texas minus 4, you saw it go to 7. So it's depending on what number you get. Lean Kentucky there, but man, betting against Alabama right now is tough.
Yeah, well, you're betting for these elite athletes for Kentucky and Calipari to get the job done, but Alabama's been playing great, like you mentioned. But KenPom, you're right. I was looking at that. They have Alabama winning this game by 9. Up next, we go to the full schedule in the NHL. We talked to Dwayne Colucci. He's from the Rampart. He's a sportsbook director. He joins the program next. Start the year with a risk-free first bet up to $500 at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today and use bonus code VSIN500 to get back up to $500 on your first wager. Now you can bet with confidence at BetMGM. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, 800-GAMBLER. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 800-BETS-OFF. Iowa, Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Happy to bring on to the program sportsbook director over there at the Rampart, Dwayne Colucci. How are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing awesome. Well, we have a full schedule in the NHL, and you're the perfect person to help us break it down a little bit. Just a quick question in terms of a few weeks into the schedule. No preseason. We know the story about the NHL. Seems like scoring's up. Well, what do you make of hockey so far or early on in the season?
Yeah, it's been all about matchups, I'll be honest with you. Naturally, I kind of figured the Golden Knights would be off to a quick start, naturally starting at home and having the advantage of the schedule. But then on the other hand, you have teams like the Canadiens that are playing on the road, and they haven't lost a game in regulation yet. A lot of the early scoring is due to, like we said, we have no preseason training camps, and some of the goalies come out, a little tentative and rusty, and you're seeing a lot of scoring opportunities because of defensive mistakes. And there's some really nice trends going on, guys, in the first period wagering and wagering by periods if you start to, start to absorb these stats. I mean, a team like Montreal scores most of their goals in the third period, and you have other teams that get off to quick starts, and the totals and the betting in the first period wagering and the second and third period for those shops that offer that has to be increased. So definitely it's been interesting. I think the preseason not having it did have a lot to do with it, and you have a lot of COVID situations with certain teams, players not playing and players that are very significant, like the Washington Capitals, and that'll affect totals and everything across the board, basically.
Dwayne, it's Josh. Thanks so much for jumping on here today. And I'm with you. You know, hockey thus far, two systems or just trends that I've noticed that have done pretty well are home favorites in the NHL. You would have thought, like, you know, dogs and lack of, you know, fans in the stands, maybe it would benefit some road teams. But home favorites this year, 34-12, 74% thus far. Favorites off a loss, 22-5, 81% so far. So it's just a couple that I've really honed in on here. But Dwayne, I wanted to real quick just ask you about the Super Bowl, you know, at the Rampart. What did you guys open the line at? How is the line moving here? A lot of books I've seen were, you know, 3.5 down to 3, the total 57.5 down to 56-ish. Can you just talk about releasing that number, what kind of action you're taking in, and where do you expect this line to move? You know, it's hard to say over the next 2 weeks, but just early betting trends, betting action at the Rampart for Super Bowl 55.
Yeah, definitely, Josh. We opened the game at 3.5, and we're seeing some action on Tom Brady. It's down to 3, and the total is 56.5 at the Rampart in the South Point currently. And, you know, when you're dealing with the key number and you're right around the 3, you're going to definitely see some action from the sharps when you're off that key number, and taking the 3.5 was the initial reaction. You know, we haven't even seen the handle and the volume that we're anticipating just yet. I mean, but it came across early, 3.5 down to 3 on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have to factor in they are technically at home. You do have Tom Brady there, but I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback and probably the best athlete in the league all around, in my opinion. So this is a fabulous matchup, Josh. We really wanted this from a handle perspective. I mean, when you had the 4 best teams in the NFL basically playing in the Final Four, it's such a massive, massive attraction. And you really didn't see a lopsided matchup. I mean, you knew Buffalo was going to be somewhat tentative going into that initial championship for them. Probably many more to come if they keep that roster intact. So what we anticipated and what we wanted, Josh, great handle, I believe, on this game, and it's going to be phenomenal.
Racing Sportsbook Manager of the Rampart, Dwayne Colucci, is on the program, Betting Across America, with Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum. Dwayne, on that handle note, when it comes to hockey, I mean, some of these trends you talked about, and then certainly some of these teams, like whether it's the Golden Knights or even the Avs, you know, these favorite teams, Tampa Bay, for instance, you're looking at St. Louis versus VGK here, and this is a big total at 6. St. Louis is plus 130. Now, Pietrangelo, a little, I don't say revenge spot, but certainly going up against his former team adds intrigue to this matchup as well.
Yeah, definitely. Petro returning against his team is a big, big factor, and it just increases our handle when the Vegas Knights are involved, Mike. So we're getting some real good handle. We're sitting at minus 150 at the Rampart in South Point. Vegas Knights have been off to a fabulous, fabulous start. Who could say enough about Marc-Andre Fleury? This guy just, he is a fountain of youth. He is the heart of the city when it comes to sporting events. And St. Louis is definitely a rival, but they've been giving up some goals. Yeah, definitely, Mike. So that's why you're definitely seeing the 6 total, but it is shaded to the under at a minus 130. So whether it's Leonard or whether it's Fleury, the Golden Knights are always represented well between the pipes. And they've had some problems scoring goals, I'll say, at times. You know, you saw a lot of tight events with the previous matchups of the Coyotes and, I believe, Anaheim. So you got to keep your eye on that. Goals against average, though, is up for the Blues, like I said, 3.67, uncharacteristic of Jordan Binnington. But they're definitely suffering on the blue line. And Pietrangelo returning back. They don't have Tarasenko just yet in their lineup. I think the Knights have an excellent chance to win.
Dwayne, I kind of want to keep on this hockey beat here and ask you, you know, any games that you're taking in some big money on tonight. One that I looked at was Chicago and Nashville Predators. Chicago looks like they might have had some COVID concerns here. Alex DeBrincat, Bovquist, a defenseman, also will be out. And you've seen Nashville. They're a pretty big move tonight. They're like minus 160. They're up to around minus 175-ish. And kind of those systems I was mentioning earlier, you know, those home favorites off a loss. And also, here's another one. If you'll get a favorite off a loss versus an opponent off a win, they're 17-3 this year. So are you seeing any money on the Predators and any other games tonight where you're seeing a lot of action on?
Yeah, definitely. We saw some increased handle on that one, Josh. And the Predators, you know, they're another team. They've been giving up about 3.4 goals against, and the Blackhawks are giving up nearly 4. So you're seeing some total action definitely shaded to the over. And like you said, there's some COVID restrictions in this game. You still have Jonathan Toews, who's still out. That is a major, you know, component of the Blackhawks team. Different players like Seabrook. And, yeah, we are seeing a little on the Nashville Predators in that match. Naturally, we have some beautiful East Coast matchups as well that are garnering some fabulous handle. Sabres and Rangers, you know, nobody could really figure out on both sides here. It seems like the Rangers are already asking questions, pushing the panic button, and they have to right the ship there. Also, Jack Eichel has been on a scoring drought, so Buffalo has some questions as well. You have Barry Trotz and the Islanders returning against his old nemesis, the Capitals, that he used to coach there. You have the parity of Ovechkin and all those guys sitting out. So we're seeing a little Islander action. Great matchup with the Penguins and the Bruins, two of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. There is so much going on tonight, guys, in the NHL. And it's great to see that the NHL has this season going on, not really being struck by COVID yet, guys, but we have to keep our eyes on that. I don't want to jinx anything. Penguins undefeated at home, as are the Bruins. I mean, that's a great matchup. So we're going to see how that one plays out. And naturally, the Vegas Golden Knights, like we touched upon earlier, that will be the biggest handle of the night on the NHL slate, guys.
Yeah, looking forward to that game. That matchup, outstanding right there. Dwayne Colucci, your thoughts on the Capitals coming back after being, I wouldn't say embarrassed, but maybe called out a little bit as they got fined for the COVID situation right there. But they have the Islanders, right? And you're looking at this one, plus 115 in this matchup.
Yeah, well, you don't have Ovechkin and you don't have Kuznetsov. So these are major, major factors that you have to take into consideration. Now, you know, they're also having some goalie parity. And, you know, the Islanders are pretty solid, I would say, defensively and in goal. I mean, even Sorokin had a great game the other night in his second NHL start. And you have usually Semyon Varlamov there. So I think the Islanders, you know, even though they have problems scoring goals and Beauvillier is on the shelf, they don't give up any goals. And when you don't have those major weapons for the Capitals, and, you know, Alex Ovechkin means so much to the team and Kuznetsov, I would have to favor the Islanders in a tight checking game here, guys. I think they have a slight advantage, and I think that Trotz always gets this team up for a game against his former mates.
Dwayne, I think it's a great point. I'm looking at the juice on that game, Isles and Washington here. A lot of 5.5s, under minus 120, under minus 130. And we see a lot of these NHL totals that are 6.5. So when you get a 5.5 juiced up under, that tells you, you know, we maybe have a low scoring game here. But only 1 minute, Dwayne. I just wanted to ask you what you're expecting here with props. Prop-a-palooza. You know, I think the recreational better. This is the best time of year. Whether you like the game or not, everyone can find a prop bet that makes it interesting. I got $10. You know, let me have some fun. So when you guys are releasing your props, and is it true, like in the past couple of years, that the handle on the prop bets is becoming even higher than the handle on the, you know, the conventional spread money line over under of the actual game?
Yeah, that's great. Great question, Josh. And we're putting up props as we speak. I just about 5 minutes before I came out on the air tweeted out some of the props that we're offering. Chris and the guys are putting them together, and the girls down there at South Point. Yeah, definitely handle is going to be off the hook. We get to an excess of about 15 to 20 pages of
love
props.
It.
Prop-a-palooza,
yes.
Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Look forward to all of those props. Dwayne Colucci, sportsbook director, racing sportsbook director for the Rampart. Great job right there. Up next, hour number two, back to the National Football League with some good trends. It's coming up next.